Arizona's midterm elections are finally almost over, and today we're going to go a little further down your ballot to talk about how some of the many propositions fared with voters this year. Everything from in-state tuition for Dreamers to election integrity to limiting dark money in campaigns was on the ballot, and Arizona voters came down on all sides of these issues. Here to talk with us more about it all is Hank Stevenson of the Arizona Agenda. Good morning, Hank.
Good morning, Lauren. Almost over. I like that.
Not quite, but almost. So let's begin by talking about a handful of initiatives that were referred to the ballot by the legislature and sort of took aim at the legislative process itself. That was kind of the storyline here. There was oddly a mixed bag here, right?
Yeah, lawmakers wanted to gut the Voter Protection Act with Prop 128. And who could have guessed that voters would really not like that idea? The Voter Protection Act essentially says that the legislature can't subvert or repeal anything that voters have approved at the ballot. And one Proposition 128 would have seriously undercut that protection. And it failed by like 30 percentage points, which was a devastating loss. The other one was voters were a little bit more open to the idea of requiring initiatives that increase taxes to pass with 60% of the vote. That's Prop 129. And 60% is a pretty tall order. Very few initiatives, let alone tax increase initiatives, receive 60% of the vote. But from here on out, they'll have to become law. And it's going to make it really hard to pass tax increases in Arizona, because remember, the legislature also needs kind of a supermajority threshold to increase taxes in the state.
Right.
And then the third one of that trio messing with the initiative process was Prop 132, which narrowly passed. And that one's a little bit more complicated. It requires all initiatives to be about one subject only. And the idea is you can't throw several different totally unrelated things into one initiative, kind of forcing people to maybe vote for something they hate in order to get something they like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really clear how that will play out in practice. And initiative backers worry that this will lead to the courts invalidating all sorts of initiatives that are really aimed at one central topic, simply because they touch on multiple kind of provisions of the law.
And let's talk briefly, Hank, about an effort to expand voter IDs, ID laws, which also failed here. What was in that?
That one was the biggest surprise for me, because of all the things lawmakers have tried to do with so-called election integrity in the last couple of years, this one was relatively tame. It would have required voters to write their driver's license number or last four digits of their social security on their mail-in ballot. Right now, you just have to sign it and date it. And as the Washington Post recently noted, that is the first time in the last decade that any state has rejected tougher voter ID laws. Usually when asked via pollsters, voters will, 70-80% of voters will say, yes, we need tougher voter ID laws. So the fact that this one, narrowly failed is pretty shocking to me.
Yeah. There were a few really big wins here, too, Hank. One initiative aimed at uncovering political donations, the so-called dark money initiative. Another aimed at predatory debt collection. These were both approved by just really massive margins by voters.
Yeah, and these were both initiatives not coming from the legislature. This is something both of these are something the legislature never would have done, but the voters really wanted to happen. We always knew that outlawing dark money would be a slam dunk. Voters hate dark money. But the courts have thrown several previous iterations of that initiative off the ballot for various technical issues. So when it finally made it, it was a slam dunk. And the same thing with the predatory medical debt collection initiative. That's just wildly popular with the voters. Lawmakers wouldn't do it, but voters did it themselves.
Yeah. So lastly, then, I want to talk about one that I think is super interesting. This is Prop 131, which creates a new political position, essentially, in the state, a lieutenant governor position. This means that gubernatorial candidates are going to be basically running on a ticket from here on out?
Yeah, think of it kind of like the vice president. right now, the vice governor of the state essentially is the secretary of state. If our governor dies or gets impeached or resigns for any reason, the secretary of state takes over. And those people are independently elected. They may not be of the same political party. I mean, look at what happened when Janet Napolitano left Arizona in 2009 and Jan Brewer took over. We, switched the governor's party in a second there. So this will allow the governor to pick their number two, which is probably not a bad idea for the sake of stability and continuity. But we'll still have a secretary of state. They just won't be second in line for the governorship.
Yeah, as we've seen that happen here. Hank, I mean, you've covered politics here for a really long time. How much do you think this will change the next statewide race for governor we see on the ballot?
You know, it'll add an extra kind of layer of thought that voters have to go through when deciding not only the governor, but if this governor were to leave, you know, who do I want to take over? It's kind of, you know, a lot like the vice presidency. There's a big, you know, to do over announcing the vice presidential pick for a presidential candidate. And they do it for various strategic reasons or because they think the person will bring in, you know, different voters than the presidential candidate has. And I think we'll see a lot of that kind of same game theory going on in picking your lieutenant governor in the future.
Yeah. All right. Some things will be different next time around. Hank Stevenson with the Arizona Agenda joining us. Hank, thanks so much as always.
Anytime, Lauren.